From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, September 23rd. I'm Abby Larico. Most of our agricultural system depends on crops that are replanted every single season, but that can be hard on the soil and the environment. Perennial crops like kernza could be a solution if they could get to commercial scale.
This is a recently identified potential crop that's been in development for decades, not centuries or millennia.
St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmidt explores what it will take to establish alternative crops to the ones that are grown today, coming up after this news on The Gateway. A St. Louis Metropolitan Police officer died Sunday morning after he was hit by a car on Interstate 70. The officer, David Lee, was killed after responding to a separate crash on the highway in North St. Louis. He was 44 years old. Lee had been setting up warning flares and traffic cones alerting drivers of the previous crash when he was hit. Police Chief Robert Tracy says the department is mourning the loss.
We're devastated. We're heartbroken. But we will continue to serve and protect the city of St. Louis and make our fallen colleague proud.
Police arrested a 24-year-old driver who officers say may have been impaired. Tracy says the department's investigation is ongoing and he expects the driver to be charged. Dozens of online shooting and bomb threats have led to various schools canceling classes or holding them virtually in recent weeks. And now FBI officials are warning the people behind the threats stand to face serious consequences. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has more.
Between July and September, 125 school violence tips have been reported to the Missouri Safety Tip Line, Courage to Report. That's almost more than the number of tips reported in all of 2023. Federal officials say perpetrators are mainly juveniles who are posting hoax threats online, and they're doing it for fun. FBI St. Louis Special Agent in Charge Ashley Johnson has a message for those behind the incidents.
We must help our young people understand that there are consequences for his or her actions. Hoax threats are not a joke. Don't think you can hide. We will find you, and you will be held accountable.
Police encourage anyone who hears or sees a threat to call 911 or contact Missouri's Courage to Report hotline. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
A lawsuit challenging Missouri's ban on gender-affirming care for minors heads to trial today. Jody Fortino reports.
The transgender children and their parents who filed the lawsuit argue the 2023 law is unconstitutional and harms transgender adolescents. They're asking a judge in Cole County to block it. Missouri Medicaid and prison health care coverage for gender-affirming care also hangs in the balance, the Missouri Independent reports. Solicitor General Joshua Devine, who's arguing for the state, called gender-affirming care, quote, at best experimental and at worst deeply harmful, according to the Independent. Arguments are scheduled to last about 2 weeks. I'm Jody Fortino.
The Illinois Supreme Court says the smell of burnt cannabis is not enough for police to search a vehicle without a warrant. Capital News Illinois reports the court's unanimous decision last week stems from a case in Henry County where a man was pulled over for speeding and a license plate violation. The state trooper reported the smell of burnt cannabis and searched the vehicle. He found about a gram of cannabis and the driver was charged with transporting it illegally. It was supposed to be in a sealed container and out of reach of the driver. But the driver claimed in his case that Illinois' 2019 law decriminalizing marijuana meant the smell of it shouldn't be used as probable cause to search his vehicle. The state Supreme Court agreed. St. Louis County's top elections officials are slamming a proposal from the GOP nominee for Secretary of State to hand count ballots. Election directors Eric Fay and Rick Stream spoke to St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum.
State Senator Denny Hoskins won a crowded GOP primary for Secretary of State, and one of his main platform planks was ditching vote counting machines and instead counting ballots by hand.
Hand counting ballots is the very simplest, safest way to go back to.
But Stream says hand counting ballots will make it much harder to get election results to the public quickly.
This is just an idea he has that I think is frankly purely political to get elected in a Republican primary. That's what I'll say about it.
Hoskins says he won't try to force local election officials to hand count ballots, but would instead try to get lawmakers to sign on to his plan. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
That conversation was part of the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. The Gateway Arch Park Foundation is sharing more details on its purchase of a long-vacant downtown property. The foundation is under contract to buy the Millennium Hotel. The 28-story, 780-room hotel is situated between the Gateway Arch grounds and Busch Stadium. It closed in 2014 and has sat unused since. Ryan McClure is the executive director of the Gateway Arch Park Foundation. He says it's important for the foundation to step in to bring the property back under local ownership.
It is not our goal to own this property long term. It is our goal to get site control. This is one step in that process to get under contract and then eventually close on it so that St. Louis, again, has a role in what happens on this site.
McClure says next steps include taking stock of the condition of the building and coming up with a redevelopment plan. He did not offer a timeline or disclose how much the building cost. The Mississippi River is again seeing low water levels. Harvest Public Media's Kate Grumke reports this is the third year in a row that drought has affected grain transportation.
When river levels are low, barges can't carry as much of a crop like corn. If they're overloaded, they could run aground. That means shipping costs go up. Farmers ultimately pay the price, according to Jim Tarman, the managing director of the Illinois Corn Growers Association.
At the end of the day, that all comes back and is pretty much laid at the producer's feet. It's gonna cost him.
15 barges move about as much grain as 1,000 semi-trucks. Tarman says at this point, the solution is pretty much to hope for rain. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
A Metro East Community Garden has earned a national award for the second year in a row. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports the O'Fallon Garden Club earned the honor by donating the most fresh produce to their local food pantry.
I'm just putting down some seed.
Candace Myler is planting some grass on a recent morning.
Hopefully we get some rain this weekend. Wouldn't that be great?
But it's not grass that the O'Fallon Garden Club is known for. In fact, the group has been quite fruitful growing something else, produce. Last year, the garden donated 5,300 pounds of fresh fruit and veggies to the O'Fallon Community Food Pantry. That's the most per capita of any garden club in the country. President Sarah Lombaria says they were thrilled with the award.
When you get a group of like-minded volunteers together who want to share their love of gardening and they want to help out the community too, it's amazing what you can do.
The food pantry receiving that produce serves about 300 families each month. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Most agricultural crops, like corn, wheat, or barley, are replanted into the ground every single year. It's a lot of work and hard on the soil where they're grown. Perennial crops, like kernza, can stay on the land for several years, offering environmental benefits. But there's not that much of it being grown right now. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports on how researchers hope to change that with more consumer products made with kernza, like beer.
The inside of Blue Jay Brewing Company's cozy taproom is packed on this recent weekday afternoon. Dozens of people enjoy glasses of the lager-style beers that are a specialty of this St. Louis brewery. On tap today is a fresh creation called New Roots, and it's a hit.
How do you like it?
It's good. It's easy to drink.
Full-bodied. It's very balanced.
I love it. It's delicious, but it's still nice and crushable. So.
That was Daryl Flessner, Greg Campbell, and Brian Schubert. Blue Jays owner and brewer Jason Thompson is also pleased with how this experimental beer turned out.
It's got a little bit different mouthfeel, I think, than barley beers, for sure. And definitely earthy, almost nutty.
Thompson says a quarter of the grain he used for this beer is kernza.
The kernel of this is much smaller than a barley kernel or a wheat kernel. Kind of elongated and skinny, almost flat.
And that led to a small issue in making the beer. Thompson says the kernza slipped right through his mill when he tried to crush the kernels and expose the starch that's necessary for brewing. In the end, Thompson just used a different brewing technique. He says he loves the challenge that comes with working with a grain he's never used before. And Kernza is relatively new. The grain first hit the market in 2018. It comes from a plant that's been used as forage in the U.S. for around a century. Roughly 40 years ago, researchers started breeding it to become a commodity. They wanted higher yields and grains that are easier to mill. Allison Miller is an evolutionary biologist who researches the plant at the Donald Danforth Plant Science Center in St. Louis.
Kernza is at essentially a 10,000-year disadvantage. This is a recently identified potential crop that's been in development for decades, not centuries or millennia.
Miller says it's an appealing crop that can both feed people and improve the environment. By staying in the ground year-round, it builds a deep root system that absorbs water and nutrients, sequesters carbon, and builds new soil, among other benefits. But right now, Kernza is grown on just under 2,500 acres, out of the hundreds of millions farmed across the country.
This is not something that we could go this fall and say, you know, next year I'd really like to shift this soybean field to Kernza. That's going to be a challenge at the scale of contemporary agriculture.
The environmental benefits alone may not be enough for farmers or consumers to switch, but the Land Institute's Tessa Peters says there is a business case.
I think that's where Kernza really has an edge because it actually tastes great and makes delicious products.
Peter's organization develops many perennial crops, including Kernza. She says the market for it right now is soft and unpredictable. But Peters says all of that could easily change if a large food conglomerate like General Mills or Nestle committed to using a tiny amount of Kernza in some of their most popular products.
A few big companies who put 1-5% of Kernza in their best-selling products could translate to tens or hundreds of thousands of acres.
She says if larger companies take up the grain, milling and processing facilities would follow. That could make it easier for more businesses and people to access the grain. People like Blue Jay Brewing's Thompson, who had to know a guy who knew a guy to just get his hands on the Kernza he needed for his beer.
Are you gonna make it again?
It depends on the availability of Kernza. But yeah, I would like to.
He says he can see this beer staying on tap year-round, but for now, he'll have to stick to brewing with barley and wheat. That's just easier to get. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
That story is a product of the Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.